You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027. This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
One of the saddest casualties of this pandemic has been the hospitality and restaurant industry. And there are numbers that support that, but I go beyond the numbers. Restaurants have a cultural imprint on what it means to be alive. Restaurants are this place of connection and community and excitement and decadence, and they're powerful. And unfortunately, we have seen some of the worst impacts in the restaurant space. I've worked in restaurants all over Melville to pay my way through varsity, and they certainly hold a very special place in my heart. So it's been dire for diners and restaurant owners alike. It's a great pleasure now to welcome Merchant Capital founder and CEO Dov Gurnan and Wendy Elbert, CEO of Restaurant South Africa, to talk a little bit more about how restaurants are coping, the announcements that we heard today from Minister Patel, and some innovative funding solutions that have emerged through this crisis. So thanks for joining us, you two. Wendy, perhaps you can just kick us off. The briefing today by Minister Patel said that sit-down meals are not permitted yet. Deliveries, drive-through, and collection of food from a restaurant are now allowed. And we're also seeing sales of hot food at retail stores so people can get their chicken from Woolies. Did I also hear the minister say you could buy alcohol at a restaurant provided you don't drink it there?
So I am led to, I'm just getting legal clarification on it. It is certainly something that the association has been lobbying for some weeks now. You've heard us talking in the media and the press that it's imperative that we get liquor sales on to assist us with the financial models. You know, as you well said, I mean, you highlighted so beautifully, and you actually made me feel very emotional on your outline of how the hardships are for our restaurants. I mean, we really have struggled since pre-COVID, and we were on our knees before COVID even started. And our restaurants are simply crippled now, and they really, really have taken enormous strain. And we are going to do everything we can as a lobby group and as the voice of the industry to really try and find and leverage possibilities for the restaurant to certainly get their businesses back to a state where they can start making money and start getting people back to work. You've seen over the weeks that we've had so many challenges, and every day is an alternative fight or another disappointment to the restaurant industry. And one of the critical things that we certainly have seen is that we've had to transform our businesses into adapting a business model that is not what we are holistically about. I mean, restaurants, as you say, we're about connection. We're about celebrations, and we're about moments, and we're about anniversaries and birthdays and get-togethers and meeting rooms. And suddenly we've had to become delivery experts, and now we've got to become takeaway experts, and soon we could become bottle store owners. And you can constantly see the commitment that our restaurants consistently make in the appreciation of their businesses and the staff that they employ to keep the economy going and to keep their businesses going. And, you know, this is, for me, it shows the importance and the complete commitment that these restaurants have got to slowing the curve down in the country. Mm. So when announcements were made like the religious sector being able to include 50 people, it made us very frustrated and then somewhat angered that the same allocation for the alleviation in terms of the risk mitigation was not applied to restaurants. So we quickly, and we on top of that opportunity and that window of opportunity, brought a letter to the department to give us an opportunity to have an explanation as to how a gathering for 50 people in the religious sector could happen. But we can't safely, at a percentage space within our restaurants, certainly invite people and patrons back to get our businesses going and to be able to get restaurants back into business and get our staff back to work. So the constant announcement and the slow turning to get the economy going is certainly exciting for us, because every opportunity that it allows for us to be able to just make a little bit more turnover, to not be in as much debt as we have, and to try and save our business is pertinent to the survival of the restaurant industry in a whole.
And I think, Wendy, you raised quite a few issues there. I heard COGTA Minister Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma say, in response to the church query, which really has, and religious gathering query, angered many people, salon owners, restaurant owners, many people who supported the lockdown initially, just can't see the logic when you see a lot of super spreader type events emerging from places of worship because people are singing, they're in close proximity and they're very high risk. And it's about equitable treatment from that perspective. Certainly her response was, well, we're not forcing people to go to church, but that doesn't wash because you are stopping people from going to restaurants. So it's a non sequitur for me. I'm glad to hear you've served a letter to the relevant government authorities. What sort of response have you had? Who exactly did you hand the letter to first? And is there at least a commitment to hear the restaurant lobby and what you have to say?
You know, when I hear what you're saying, I mean, it's such a futile response. I mean, we are here dealing with COVID. We are not dealing with political stages in getting parts of industry open. We are certainly here to all support the slowdown of the curve to keep our employees safe, to keep our customers safe. And to say, you know, you're not forcing people to go to church. I mean, can you please explain to us, and we're still waiting for that explanation from COCTA, to the application that was used to disseminate the risk on the religious sector. And we want the same application to be applauded to restaurants. We have shown from the onset, pre-COVID, that we are certainly a responsible industry. We have managed our operations. We've enhanced all the deliverables from the health and safety. We take care. We've proved our integrity that we have. We've proved that there's no transmission of COVID through food. We have gone out of our way to ensure that we support the president, his leadership. We've ensured that we've supported the leadership and the decision makers. And you're absolutely right. When news comes about like this, when we've been compliant and we've shown the greatest respect for leadership at the extent that our businesses are crippled and we've got businesses that are sequestrating, we have businesses that are closing and going into business rescue, we cannot help but to call for a consultation and a proper demand of an explanation as to why the restaurant industry is not open. And we're not going to stop. So we have an exceptional relationship with the Minister of Tourism, and we always applaud her for her leadership and her availability to always make time to talk to us about restaurants and educate themselves on the financial models and the strives and the difficulties that's happening with us, and to always give us time to provide information and interaction. And, you know, the same way that our restaurants are seeking guidance from us, we are seeking guidance from our ministerial department. So they have always gone out of their way, and they extended an emergency meeting for the industry last night. And we went through many issues, not only the reopening of the sector for sit-down. And I think following through of the meeting, we realized what the industry certainly looks like. And we can categorically say, hand on heart, that we are ready to reopen, that the consumer is ready to receive the restaurant's opening, and that we've made all the proper consultation and industry representation to be able to manage and keep our staff and keep our customers safe through the next stage of opening. You know, we're now going to have people standing in our restaurants collecting food. So if somebody can explain the logic to me, you can stand in the restaurant to collect your food, but you can't sit down and eat it in the same safe environment as what we're going to do to make sure people can safely collect their food. So you're absolutely right. We constantly faced with so many challenges. And, you know, we look at the logic. I mean, how do you just take the water and life accounts and you triple them and you expect us to dig deep into empty pockets? How do you want us to pay our utilities? Why did the municipalities not organize themselves properly and have staff available where you could submit a photograph of your meter reading, do the meter reading calculations, make the adjustments, and issue a proper account? Yeah, why basics, is everybody's on full-time pay has it not been done? And it goes to every other issue.
Exactly. I was chatting to the property industry group, the unfortunately acronymed PEG group, around the rental discussions that they're having with restaurant owners at the moment. And the one frustration that has come through from their side is of the 40 major cities and big metros out there, only one over the last couple of weeks has responded to say, let's set up a meeting and talk about what we can do around rates and taxes. So it's an unequal partnership. When we talk about a partnership approach to defeating the virus and flattening the curve, the pain, unfortunately, is being borne by the private sector, while public sector civil servants take full salaries and really are shielded from the brunt. The problem is, without a tax base, those salaries dry up pretty quickly. I don't want to get too sidetracked, though. Dov, with all of this, obviously restaurants having sat idle for weeks, if not months now, the big question is, how do restaurant owners with and without pre-existing delivery capabilities afford to buy stock and pay wages and deep clean with all of that responsibility and no revenue coming through? And this is where Merchant Capital has come up with a solution called Reboot. Exactly how does Reboot work?
So thanks for having me on the show again, Michael. It's always a pleasure. And I just want to say that I think we applaud the work that Wendy and Raza are doing in trying to lobby in a very difficult, tenuous time, and kind of, I'm sure it feels like she's pushing water uphill a lot of the time. So Michael, we have been serving restaurant owners and businesses in the food and hospitality sector for the last 7 or 8 years since Merchant Capital was founded in 2013. And a large percentage of our portfolio sits in that sector. So we have seen the devastation and the decimation, really, of that industry over the last couple of months since lockdown began. So it's not like we came up with a new product. We have been funding these businesses since inception. We just kind of created or developed a much simpler, quicker, easier product called Reboot by Merchant Capital. And we acknowledged and were mindful of the fact that you alluded to earlier, that these small restaurant owners have had no cash flow and no revenue. So how are they able to reach into their pockets and fund a new delivery strategy or do some marketing or bring some of the staff that had to make redundant back? So we launched this product to our existing and any new restaurant owners. And essentially the product or the finance can be used for anything that is going to really reboot their business, right? So delivery, doing a deep cleanse, doing some marketing, hiring some new staff, whatever it may be, paying some salaries. And the product has been exceptionally well received. It was only launched last week, but we've been, the demand has been really great. And we are trying to be conservative and prudent at the same time because, we are mindful of the fact that these businesses have not traded for some time. And what the last thing we want to do is to put them in a deeper hole of a debt. So we're giving small little pieces to get going. And obviously that facility can then grow as the restaurants begins to build some traction again. But we wholeheartedly and unequivocally believe in the comeback of restaurants and hospitality. As you alluded to in your introduction, it's the lifeblood of our economy. It has a huge multiplier effect from an employment point of view. I personally love going out to restaurants with friends and my wife, etc. And it's something that we as a society really crave and need. So I have absolutely no doubt that it will come back. Yes, it will be different. And, for the short to medium term, there will be some things that may be uncomfortable. But I believe that in some shape or form it will come back. And we as Merchant Capital want to be there supporting these restaurant owners that we have supported from day one as they kind of figure their way out in this new normal and we'll make a proper comeback.
And we are seeing the numbers. I was just chatting to Solly Croc, who's celebrating his 91st birthday today in Israel. Wow. Restaurants bouncing back nicely. We've seen some positive signs in Germany, in the US as well. It's hardwired into our DNA. They are meeting places. They're where we connect, as Wendy said. So Dov, Wendy, thank you so much for doing your bit to help these small businesses access some innovative short-term finance. And Wendy, for the tireless work that you're doing, Sisyphean task as it is, lobbying for the industry to reopen. It's just common sense that you're asking for at the end of the day. But unfortunately, that seems to be in very short supply at the moment. So that was Dov Geernan, founder and CEO of Merchant Capital, and Wendy Elberts, CEO of the Restaurant Association of South Africa.